Welcome to Real Money with David Holland, the show that focuses on real people, real problems, and real solutions. David is a certified financial planner with over 20 years of financial experience. And because he actually provides advice to clients on a daily basis, our hyperactive compliance department wants us to tell you that David Holland is an investment advisor representative of Holland Advisory Services, a registered investment advisory firm. He also offers insurance and annuity products through Holland Insurance Services. Holland Advisory Services and Holland Insurance Services are separate affiliated companies that share common ownership under Holland Financial. Commentary given during this radio program is usually pretty smart, but should not be considered investment, insurance, tax, or legal advice. Views expressed concerning specific securities should not be considered an offer to buy or sell. Investment advice and financial planning services can only be given after an analysis of an individual's situation. Only if you hire David and his firm to help you, and only available where Holland Advisory Services is registered or exempt from registering. And now, ladies and gentlemen, here comes the unfiltered truth about money, investing, and retirement planning from a man who will give it to you straight. No bias and no spin. Here he is, David Holland.
And here we are. Okay, I have a couple of things I want to share with you. Let's see. Let's start with a poll that's out. This is good. A poll by Associated Press, NORC, Center for Public Affairs Research. And the poll was about older workers. They are, half of them are delaying their retirement plans. And of course, a lot of that has to do with investments as well as home values being reduced from what they were. But hey, listen, the markets have been up. But with the downturn that began in 2008, that really knocked a lot of people's retirement goals back. And also disappointing home sales and home values, although that's also on the rise. Some 82%, according to this study or this report out from Associated Press and the NORC Center, and this was reported in the Associated Press, so there's your link. Some 82% of working Americans over 50 say it's somewhat likely they're going to work for some sort of ongoing work for pay in retirement, and they also expect to retire later than they previously thought. Now, that all seems rather intuitive or logical, but the interesting thing is on average, they plan to wait until 66. And that's also for a lot of people, that's their normal retirement age with Social Security. Now, it's interesting when you look at it, let me go a little bit further into details. There's a lot of considerations people cite. 78% cited financial need, 75% looking at health. Oh, this is interesting. There was a gentleman that they were talking to. It reminded me of my own personal story. This one gentleman was quoted in the survey. His dad had already been retired for 10 years at his age. He's 65 and had already moved to Florida. And he says, well, things are different. And I was going to share my personal story. I plan on working to 70. That's my plan personally. And, you know, things have changed. People didn't live as long. And that's a big part of this, is that people are delaying their work because they're living a lot longer. And that means they're going to need to save more and have a bigger nest egg, because that money's going to have to last longer. I plan on working to 70. I'm 45. I plan on working to 70. And both of my grandfathers had passed away by the time they were 70. So that's how much has changed in just a couple of generations. So, you know, these studies are interesting, but the thing to always keep in mind, it's not all about the market. It's all about investing. It's also about where things are. You know, if you retire at 60 and you've got good genes or a good history of longevity and you've taken care of yourself, you might live to 100. That's 40 years of retirement. I mean, that sounds wonderful, doesn't it? But that is interesting how things have changed. I actually had a woman I met with recently, and she's got a history of longevity in her family. She's got a great job. Let's see, she was 48 years old. And we talked through her plan, and I made some recommendations to her, and she's going to work probably till she's 67, because that's her normal retirement age for Social Security under current tax law or under current Social Security Administration rules. So, you know, if she retires at 67, say even 68, you know, she may have another 30 or more years life expectancy. So as you think about your retirement, or you're already in retirement, or you're thinking ahead for retirement, you know, this is all changing, and retirement is not a long vacation anymore like it used to be. It requires some careful planning. All right, a couple other things I wanted to get to that I've been saving for you and just waiting for the right opportunity to share it with you, and here we are. Let's see. Five signs. This is a report out from credit.com. Five signs you may need professional money help. I guess that could go in line with planning your retirement. And here they are, and I always like to look at these articles or things that are written, and I like to tell you what I like about them, what I think are important about them, and I'll, of course, very clearly tell you when I disagree with the the journalist or the author, because I sometimes think journalists, they don't have it right because either they have a passing knowledge or they haven't done enough research, or maybe they've started with what they want to talk about and gone out and found things to support what they want to tell you, their bias. All right, so let's see if we have that with this article from credit.com. 5 signs you may need professional money help. Number one, these are some of the signs. You have no idea where all the money goes. I would say that's a sign, okay? No joke there. If you have no idea where your money goes or you're living above your means, it's a sign you may need professional help. And there's lots of resources out there that you can go to. I've had on my program the National Foundation for Credit Counseling. I mean, there are lots of organizations you can go out and look and find on the internet. And so if you don't know where it goes, you know, if you start with you have a salary or you have your income, or if you're retired and you've got Social Security and you've got some sort of additional income and you look at how much that total is and you've done some budgeting or you at least know what your expenses are, if you should have $500 left over at the end of the month and you just don't know where the $500 went, well, then you really need to step back and look at that and say, well, where does it go? Are we always ended up with something more on the credit card and it's kind of rolling over and it's starting to snowball? And I will tell you, this isn't just for people that, you know, that are at the lower income level. I've had people come into my office that have what most people would consider a substantial amount of assets and a substantial amount of income. And they have amassed a significant amount of credit card debt. And their question is, what do we do about this debt? Do we pay it off? How do we pay it off? How do we do it smart from a tax standpoint? And so do not get the wrong impression. My message, and I think the message of this comment this article I found from credit.com can apply to people of all walks of life. So you need to know where the money's going. I don't mean every penny, but you need to have an idea. Number two, you do not understand your insurance policies. If you've got long-term care policy or you've got a life insurance policy or if you've got an annuity, which is a type of insurance policy, if you don't understand them, that is a sign of you may need professional money help or you may need help from a different person to help you with your finances than whoever maybe has helped you with those that they haven't maybe adequately explained them to you. Don't hesitate to get a second opinion from somebody where they can guide you on, you know, what you should have. You've made no arrangements if you were to die or become incapacitated. That's a big deal. If you haven't made those plans, that could be a sign that you're not on the right track. You don't know if you're prepared for retirement. That's probably the most important one on this list. Do you know how much you need to have for retirement? Do you know how much you need to retire and when you can retire? And number 5, related to that, you don't have a clear understanding of your investments. Do you understand what you own in your portfolio? If you don't, that's another sign of maybe needing some guidance or, again, maybe getting a second opinion. And please don't misunderstand. I'm not telling you to come see me. I'm glad to help people. When I say get a second opinion, it doesn't mean that I'm saying you have to come see me, David Holland, at Holland Financial. That's what I do every day, but I'm saying get help. People listen to this program all over. I have people that listen to it in other states, not just here in East Volusia, East Central Florida. It's on the internet, and different people listen all over the country. So I'm saying go to somebody who's credible and get a second opinion on what you're doing. Make sure you're on the right track. All right, let's do this. Let's take a quick break. We'll come back, and I've got a couple more things that you're going to want to hear, so stay right there.
There are hundreds of annuities available in today's marketplace. How can you know if one is right for you? Certified financial planner David Holland answers this question and more in his educational booklet on annuities. To get your free copy, call Holland Financial at 888-747-PLAN. The annuity booklet provides a plain English explanation of the different types of annuities so you can decide if one is a good fit for your situation. Again, that number is 888-747-7526.
This is your 2-minute warning.
Hey there, I haven't given you a 2-minute warning lately, so here's another story or a column out from U.S. News. A Kimberly Palmer, have 5 counterintuitive financial steps that work. All right, so you got to be on your guard when you hear a journalist talking about 5 counterintuitive steps about your finances from the U.S. News and World Report. And again, this is a little bit of what I talk about when you have to be careful what you read because there could be an agenda. I'm not sure if that's the case or not, but the journalist interviewed a financial planner, and there's things I like here, things I don't like. He says the financial planner, his name is Russell, he said he's tired of constantly warning his clients about making bad money decisions or bad money choices. And part of the problem, he says, is that a lot of popular financial advice is often wrong. Well, there's some validity there. I would agree with that. He said, for example, he urges people to rethink purchasing houses that might be outside their budget. Agreed. He also says putting too much money in your retirement accounts could be a bad idea because then you don't have enough cash on hand for emergencies. Agreed. I agree with that. So here are some of the under-the-radar strategies, as they call it, that you got to be careful of or things to be thinking about. Number one, buy a smaller house. Don't strap yourself by expending every nickel you can because you leave yourself over-leveraged. I agree with that one. Number two, don't save for retirement. Well, the point he's making is don't put all your money into your retirement accounts. Have some after-tax regular money you can get to. I agree with that. I like that. I like the idea of maxing out your 401k, maxing out those tax-deferred savings accounts, but you need to have cash money on hand, so let's keep that available. Number three, forget about stocks. I don't agree with that one. I think that it's good to have stocks as part of an overall portfolio, maybe through mutual funds, but he does agree that you need to have stocks as part of an overall larger strategy. So you always got to look a little further, a little deeper. I don't think there's anything wrong with stocks. They just need to be looked at as a long-term hedge against inflation. Don't buy just a couple stocks. It's better to have a diversified portfolio. No-load funds are a great way to do that. He said another thing in the column they recommend is a focus on perpetual streams of income. I like that. I like the idea of creating income. There's lots of different ways to do that. That an income that's reliable that you can count on and you know it will be there. And last, they say calculate your cash flow lifestyle, what you need for your cash flow, and then obviously build out a budget. You know, budgeting, for a lot of people, budget, what is that? B-U-D-G-E-T, is that five letters? For a lot of people, it's four letters, and they don't like it. They don't want to hear it. And I tell people, my job is not to budget for them, but to tell them how much they can get out of what they've got, and then their job is to figure out how to live within that number. But it's okay to sit down and talk with yourself or with your spouse, your significant other, about how you're going to spend your money and, you know, plan it out. Don't cut yourself so thin. You don't have to be ultra frugal, but you want to be smart about it. And just, it's okay to give yourself permission to spend some money, but just plan it and be deliberate about it. All right. That's all the time we have for this segment. Stay right there and I'll have a guest for you.
Are you gambling with too much money invested in the stock market? How can you tell? It's simple. The rule of 100. Take your age and subtract it from 100. The result is how much you might want to keep in the market. The rest should be off the table, invested in something safe. Every rule has an exception, but the rule of 100 is a good starting point to determine if your portfolio is out of balance. Holland Financial is ready to help. Call 888-747-PLAN to schedule your free consultation or visit us at davidholland.com.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. I'm super pleased. I'm always super pleased and happy to have guests, but I got to tell you, we just get some really cool guests on the program, and I know you're going to love this one. Victor Riccardi is my guest today. He is a behavioral finance and risk expert. That means he knows why you do what you do with your money. How's that? And he is coming out with a book. Now, it's not ready yet, but I'm going to tease you with it. And we'll have him back on to talk again when the book's out. The book is going to be Investor Behavior, The Psychology of Financial Planning and Investing. It's due out January, February of 2014. Victor, welcome to the program.
Oh, thanks for having me. I look forward to our conversation.
Very good. Quick background on Victor. He has both a business degree as well as a master's in finance and advanced master's in economics at St. John's University. Began his career in New York City as a mutual fund accountant at Dreyfus and Alliance Capital, and has done a lot of different things. You teach undergraduate courses. Where is that? At Goucher College?
Yes, Goucher College and Baltimore, Maryland. It's a great place to teach and a great place to send your children if they're college age.
Outstanding. That's a good plug. And the website, we'll go one step further, Victor. Goucher.edu is the website, and they can go on and learn about the excellent programs available there. So, Victor, ladies and gentlemen, I prepped Victor before we started. Said, now, Victor, I really want to pick your brain because I do this every day where I'm working with investors and trying to help them with their, not try, I do help them with their financial planning. And so the very, very loaded question for you, Victor, is, and we don't have 4 hours to do this, but why do people do what they do, which is sometimes not the best thing when it comes to their money and investing? Why do they do what seems to be the wrong thing at the wrong time?
Well, a lot of this is related to the area that I specialize in, known as behavioral finance, which takes integrates psychology topics. With basic financial decision making. So I would say three of the main research issues that have been found in literature is one is that people tend to be overconfident. So people tend to trade too much with their money. They move around too much. Another major piece is that people are loss averse, meaning that when they actually experience a loss of an equivalent gain, that loss feels twice as more painful as a gain of an equivalent upside. So there's an emotional loss to it. And also, people, when they make decisions, they use something called heuristics, which is based on cognitive psychology, in which people, when faced with information overload, they kind of just make decisions based on things they've experienced. They process information in a way where they only grasp on to maybe certain pieces of information, and rather than optimize, they kind of suffice. So it doesn't always lead necessarily to very bad decisions, but it also may not lead to optimal, perfect decisions or very good decisions.
Excellent. I've never had anybody put it that way. That's very interesting. And what I find right off the bat, when you surprise me by saying that a lot of times people are overconfident, and then you couple that with that loss aversion, that is really popping the balloon. And of course, we don't have to go very far back in history to see a situation where, you know, going into 2008 and 2009, the market had been on a run since 2003, and it was a pretty strong bull market there, and people were feeling very confident. And then when things went bad, all that confidence, just the pain that you talked about, that loss aversion, people were just jumping out and said, I don't care, I'm losing, get me out, because I just can't take it anymore.
Exactly. And I think the long-term effect, not necessarily the long-term effect, but the five-year effect right now is that people are still traumatized by it.
Yeah.
And part of that heuristic is they use something like anchoring. So the anchor now has been placed on, for some investors, that negative portfolio experience that they went through, and then it causes them, that experience is a negative emotion also, that it causes them to be afraid of stocks or totally now be out of stocks. So kind of you have to get to a strategy, no matter what market cycle that you're at, where you kind of have to determine your risk tolerance, link that to a pre-described asset allocation, meeting with a financial planner, but then also you need to rebalance that portfolio on a yearly basis and then monitor on a yearly basis if you're a long-term investor. And I think those are the components of how a pre-described strategy that you sit through or you deal with in a up or down market is the best way to go.
That's excellent. That's not going to set it better, Victor. And I think the key thing is, because people say, well, what should I be investing in now? You know, meaning the current environment or meaning the current market levels. You know, the market's at 15,000 on the Dow. What should I be doing now? What are your, and I always come back to them and say, well, that answer is not going to be dependent on the market's activity that day. It's going to be a function of what you've already described, Victor, which is their risk tolerance, their time horizons, their objectives, all that stuff. And if they can't stick with the strategy with the up and down nature of the market, they can't stick with the strategy, they shouldn't be in the strategy.
Exactly, and that's what's trying to discover who you are. I think what's known as standard finance is too worried about optimizing a portfolio. So they'll sit down with a person and say, oh, we'll put this strategy together and you'll have $1 million at retirement. My thing is not for people to worry about that. They're exactly aiming for to have $1 million at retirement. If they at least plan, invest on a yearly basis for 25, 30 years, and at least even if they then hit $600,000 or $800,000, they'll be far better off than 90% of the American public. So they shouldn't get wrapped up necessarily in this long-term, over-daunting objective, but they should just start to plan better, live within their means, and get excited about investing. Put money into that 401k plan. And I just think if people think of it more as investing as fun rather than being a paying bills or being something like going to the doctor, I think if they change their persona about it, that's another very important aspect of it.
It can be fun. I agree with that. I like that approach, Victor. We try to make it fun in my office. They come in, we feed them candy and coffee and caffeine and sugar, the two drugs you can dispense in the United States without a prescription. So I try to make it a fun experience for them.
That's good.
Yeah, no, but I like the direction of your thinking on this because, there is a lot of emphasis in the financial services community on building the best mousetrap, or let's do these Monte Carlo simulations and show you a million different outcomes and how do we optimize. But before we get into all of that, it's really about the person. I get that. That's what you're saying is you better get your head right and know who you are and how you are as an investor and what you can stomach and what really is best for you, instead of getting caught up in graphs and charts and how you're going to get to $1 million for retirement.
Exactly. And I think it's also, as I said before, I described a lot of people who invest, say, actively in discount accounts or discount brokerage accounts, mm-hmm. trade actively, and that leads to the overconfidence. But it's also dependent on what type of investor you are or what you're saving for. So retirees are essentially also the opposite. So you can think about people being overconfident investors, a certain group of them, but also there really is a status quo investor, which are the people who, again, start to save for investing or they delay investing, so there's really a procrastination inertia. So my latest thought on things is to balance people out. You don't want to be overconfident, but mm-hmm. also you don't necessarily want to be underconfident or have too much of a inactive role in your portfolio, and that's where I think the rebalancing is a very important thing, where if you made money in the market in a particular year, just take off a little bit, and then on the upside, you're still making money, but then on the downside, when you're a bad year, you're not overexposed outside of your current risk tolerance category.
That's very good. I think another way of what I would add to that, Victor, having worked with clients for a long time, is that we don't want them to be overconfident. We don't want them to lack confidence altogether. I want them to have justified confidence. And the way I have found that they get there is by having a plan and having a clear view of where they need to be and getting somebody who can really guide them and understand them. And that comes from working with an experienced advisor who can really understand their situation. Well, I tell you what, Victor, you're going to have to come back in January, February when the book comes out. Victor Riccardi's been our guest, ladies and gentlemen, behavioral finance and risk expert. He's a professor at finance at Goucher College. The website is goucher.edu. And the book, Investor Behavior, The Psychology of Financial Planning Investing, due out 2014. Victor, thank you very much for being on the program.
Thank you for having me. I look forward to talking with you again.
That sounds great. Thank you very much. And ladies and gentlemen, thank you.
Want to learn more about Real Money with David Holland? Visit us at realmoneyradio.com, where you can listen live or to the archives. You can also email us your questions, comments, or show ideas to info@realmoneyradio.com. Be sure to like us on Facebook at Real Money with David Holland.
Remember, nobody cares more about your money than you do. This has been Real Money with David Holland. Thank you for listening.